Hi, I'm Laura.
Hey, I'm Stefan, and you're listening to Attributed, a podcast library by DreamData.
The purpose of it is to store and share all the knowledge that we have gathered across DreamData employees through our LinkedIn Lives, podcasts, and webinars.
The typical topics you'll find here can be stuff like marketing,
sales,
B2B ads,
operations,
social selling maybe.
Hello, everybody. And Yihui, it's a pleasure to have you on the call today. Could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Great. Thank you for having me, Laura. Hi, everyone. Good morning, afternoon, good night, wherever you're dialing in from. My name is Yihui. I lead our business development team on the LinkedIn Marketing Solutions, focusing on signals and attribution. And I'm based out here in New York.
Fantastic. And that's what we're going to talk about. A lot about attribution, about conversions. And the topic of the day is LinkedIn Conversions API. We spoke a little bit about the topic around a year ago about offline conversions. We're going to dig deeper into the topic today. Let's kick this off, Yihui. What is LinkedIn Conversions API?
Oh, it's so complex, but so simple at the same time. So this is a really good segue from what you talked about 30 seconds ago, Laura. We launched LinkedIn offline conversions last year to help customers measure the impact of their LinkedIn ads on offline events that are typically not traceable or, you know, traditionally measurable through a cookie. LinkedIn Conversions API is an evolution, or I like to say an upgrade from what we launched a year ago, where we now, you know, have this one really nifty tool that allows marketers or really anyone who advertises on LinkedIn to share their website data, their marketing data, their CRM data, or their offline events kind of conversions data with LinkedIn in a completely cookieless way that allows them to now truly understand, you know, what is the impact and return of my LinkedIn ad spend on offline events, but also on online events.
There are a lot of words that you said us in. Tell me more. Okay, but let's unpack it slowly and dig into further into the topic. So from the top, why is this a big thing for marketers? Why should they care?
So many of you probably already know about that, and it's something that's very top of mind right now for a lot of digital marketers, is cookies are starting to go away. Right, third-party cookies in general. You know, one of the biggest browsers out there have made the announcement that they are starting to remove third-party cookies on a 1% basis starting in January 1st. I think this is about time. Fun fact, cookies are about 30 years old. It was invented in 1994, actually, by an engineer who worked at Netscape. So 30 years later, we're going, the industry's saying, you know what, we need a more robust and accurate way to measure website activities and conversions. Right, but the inherent challenge and impact of third-party cookies going away on marketers is that it becomes even more challenging to truly understand what happens after an ad impression is, you know, being served, after someone clicks on an ad. Did the person go to the website? We might not be able to measure that as comprehensively anymore because the tools that we've used for the last 30 years to do that were primarily pixel or JavaScript based, right? So not super reliable if you think about it. A lot of things can break in the process. So what we did at LinkedIn was we said, you know what is the most secure, flexible, and robust way to help our marketers understand, you know, the follow-through effect of what happens after someone sees an ad on LinkedIn and what they do afterwards, regardless of whether that's happening on a website or not, right? So, and that's sort of what we're here to talk about today in the LinkedIn Conversions API. So in short, LinkedIn Conversions API effectively is a toolkit where marketers can send data from any destination of their choice, whether it's their website server, if they're trying to measure website events, whether it's an app, if they're trying to drive in-app conversions and in-app engagements, whether it's their marketing automation platform or their CRM or any other sources out there, Google Sheets, right? I know many of us here use Google Sheets. I use them as my personal CRM. Regardless of where your source is, you can now connect that very seamlessly into LinkedIn through a partner like DreamData, for example, to then now make the connection and say, hey, this is an ad impression or a click that happened on LinkedIn. Now what happened after that? Because Conversions API serves as the conduit to bring those connections into LinkedIn. Yeah. And the best part is now we don't really have to rely on third-party cookies to do that, because these are all the data that customers are sharing belongs to the customers. You're not relying on, you know, a string of alphanumeric digits on your website to tell us what happened. Mm-hmm. You're telling us, hey, you know, this person clicked through from LinkedIn, the click ID is this, or even better, if you have your CRM data and you go, hey, I want to know for this close one opportunity that I got 2 weeks ago, that come from a LinkedIn ad? Great. You have their first name, their last name, their emails, maybe the company that they work at or job title. All of these are also data that and information that LinkedIn has on its members, right? So we put those two together, join them in a very privacy safe way, and then we throw the data away. And then we'll tell you in aggregate whether, you know, that conversion actually happened as a result of your LinkedIn ads investment.
Very interesting. And it sounds like there's a lot of operations work going into this, or at least used to go into. So it means a big leap for marketers to be able to measure this. But how does it change how operations actually is going to work in the future then?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there are always sort of two sides of the coin when you think about, you know, setting up something as comprehensive as Conversions API. It's beautiful and as wonderful the solution is. It is a pretty technical setup, right? Because it requires you to now make that connection between a LinkedIn server and potentially your web servers, right? So I know speaking with a lot of our customers who don't have a large engineering team supporting that needs help. We need help, you know, making that connection. I think that's where our partnership comes in to solve a very relevant pain point for our joint customers in the market. So for the operations folks in the room, I would say definitely explore, you know, the suite of LinkedIn partners that can help you make that connection easy. So rather than coding your way through into the API, you can click your way through setting up the API through the LinkedIn and Dream Data partnership. You log into Dream Data. Dream Data is wonderfully configured all of the back end for us, where they can, you know, connect directly. Well, Dream Data, I should say, can connect directly into your platform of choice. You just need to tell Dream Data where you would like your conversions to be picked up from. And then Dream Data kind of takes care of the rest, right? And streams that data and set up the attribution rules into LinkedIn. And that's, I think that's a starting point for the operations folks. And, you know, I know there are a lot of analytics folks on this call as well.
So we were talking a little bit about operations work, that it can be a little bit difficult to hard code it by yourself to get those conversions in and streamline that work. But it still sounds that it's possible to do hands-on versus to use a tool, right?
Yeah. Totally. You have the option to choose whether you want to make that direction connectly, that connection directly from your platform or service of choice to LinkedIn. We have the option to do that. All you need to do is really log into your campaign manager, go into conversion tracking, and then there's some pretty prescriptive instructions on how to do that step by step. Or you can leverage a platform, a partner platform of LinkedIn, like Dream Data, to help you sort of take care of it all.
Yeah. And you mentioned that there are other partners as well to work with that. So can you walk me through what the partners that you have chosen for Conversions API right now, what is the difference of the way they're operating the Conversions API right now?
That's right. That's a really good question. So there are three official partners that we've launched this with about a month ago, actually. So this is a fairly new integration and a product for us, with many more partners in the pipeline. And, you know, you should expect to see new logos come through in your campaign manager dashboard. The first partner that we have, of course, is Dream Data. So the reason why we partner with Dream Data is because of analytics and attribution, right? So that's a top use case that most of our customers are asking us for. And I know many of them have made the same ask to you and your team as well, Laura. And we've chosen Dream Data out of, you know, a large suite of partners, because you guys are truly best in class in not just connecting, you know, helping your customers connect, you know, the return of the investment on any ad platform to real world outcomes, right? To truly B2B impacting outcomes. You guys actually specialize in that track. Right, in all things B2B, you guys have such a granular understanding of what happens and what helps move an opportunity and a customer from one part of the funnel to the next. So I'd say for anyone looking to make that connection and dive deeper into understanding B2B revenue attribution, Dream Data is a fantastic partner to start with. But we know that, analytics and attribution is one of many use cases that customers want to connect CAPI with, Convergence API, in short, CAPI. We can't go through, marketing webinar or event without, throwing some acronyms in there, right? So here comes the acronyms, CAPI. The two other partners that we've, chosen to work with, because we know there's so many use cases that we want to support, but realistically, it's difficult to, connect that with every platform under the sun. So Google Tag Manager is the second partner that, we've chosen to partner with. Google, it's no strange name to anybody in this room, candidly, right? So what we've done is actually connected LinkedIn Conversions API with the Google Tag Manager server-side tracking solution that, it works identical to how we're setting it up today with Dream Data as well for LinkedIn CAPI. Mm-hmm. The only difference is we know that a lot of our marketers operate off of Google, right? Google marketing platforms, whether you use Google Analytics, whether you use Campaign Manager in Google, a large suite of solutions that you guys have already running with Google. So what we want to do is make it really easy for you as a customer. If you're already on Google, you can log into Campaign Manager at LinkedIn as well, and it will direct you into a flow to now connect that. So now you don't really have to, for customers who don't want to take on another platform or another partner to set up LinkedIn Conversions API, you can do it where you already do a lot of your measurement and analytics work. So that's our second partner. The third one is Zapier. Zapier is a connector platform, right? So the value that they bring, which is incredible to the world of marketing and everyone who works in marketing in this room, we all know just how many platforms we all have to log into every single day to track your campaign, measure something, do automation, right? It starts to like add a lot of, labor on an operation standpoint. And Zapier as a wonderful business, exists to sort of help simplify and automate a lot of that connection task. I want to move my data from one place to this place, and I want to transform it in this way and change it in this four different ways, right? So Zapier is an automation platform. Mm-hmm. So we've also chosen to work with Zapier because we know that, sure, as much as, different marketers and customers want to connect the data from different sources, a lot of times there is a huge amount of work that goes into having to clean the data, making sure the data exists in the right formats, the right places, the right roles. And you might want to filter certain things before you share that with your ad partners, right? So that's sort of the third partner that we've chosen with to really now open up, the flexibility for our customers to configure the data in whatever shape they see fit before sharing those with LinkedIn.
Very nice. And if you were to set a word or two about the difference of the three, the way they would work with CAPI, are there any differences that you're seeing?
Yes and no. I think from how Dream Data, Google, and Zapier works with LinkedIn Conversions API, no, it's identical. All right. The name of the game here is consistency. Regardless of who you choose as your partner, you get the same results. Where it starts to differentiate is sort of what I talked about earlier. It's if you want to go really deep in B2B analytics and attribution, go with someone who specializes in that. Dream Data. If automation, complex task setup is what you're going for, Zapier might be a better candidate.
Right.
You want to measure everything in one place, Google's a fantastic candidate for that.
Right. And to top that off, for Dream Data is going all the way down to revenue to kind of add it to your pipelines, attribution, all the platforms together. But the reason we love this collaboration this much is that it helps clients actually just finally figure out all of those impressions that we're seeing on LinkedIn. Sometimes they seem expensive. They're actually there to be attributed all the way to your closed deals.
That's right. And that's a common, it's something that LinkedIn, candidly, we struggle with, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right. We know that, LinkedIn comes off as being more expensive than many other places that you're spending your money into.
Right.
And when we did, we set up a team of engineers to try and understand what is actually happening in there. Why are we more expensive? And one of the findings that we found was that it was fascinating because when we looked at, a subset of customers who are advertising on LinkedIn on a very consistent basis, and we went, what did we do wrong? Why are we more expensive? So it was like a multi-month analysis. And what they came back with was one of the biggest takeaway, which actually inspired why, we put a lot of investment into launching Conversions API, is that
we're simply not measuring mm-hmm. the outcomes that we're driving. So then we say, okay, you know what? Let's do that again. Let's do the study again this time, but let's make sure our customers are sharing their data with us. And what we found was that, oh, actually, when customers are sharing their conversions data with us, we notice a 21% increase in attributor conversions. So what that is effectively saying is, pretend you've been drawing 5 conversions, right? And you have 5 close one opportunities. LinkedIn was previously only taking credit for 4 of them because we didn't know the 5th one exists. Yeah. Right, because it could have been blocked by a third-party cookie that we weren't measuring anymore, or we just didn't make that connection of those two things, right? So that was the first thing that was illuminating to us. Is now when you look at your performance data and your campaign, it looks like it grew organically by 21%, but the reality is it was just because we're finally making that connection. And that, of course, is a very direct translation to what your cost per action, cost per lead would mean, right? So in that same study, we found that, you know, when customers are actually sharing, you know, data comprehensively, the overall CPA, cost per action, went down by 30%. Mm. Not because we were driving additional leads or anything, we're very good at driving leads, but it was a function of, oh, with better measurement, you know, this is now a more true reflection of the impact and return of your LinkedIn ad budget.
Fantastic. And this was the question that Kim just posted as well. It's like, can you say something about the increase of ROI to expect? So people who are not doing conversions APIs just now, what is it that they could expect as of ROI?
I'd say anything that's, you know, below that 30% threshold, meaning you should expect when you, if you're not using conversions API, you should expect then to only have a partial view into how effective your LinkedIn ads are. The second thing I would say is, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, just now talking about measurement, analytics, and attribution. And I think that's really step one of making sure that your marketing and your optimization campaigns are sound. But at the end of the day, right, Lara, we both know that measurement is a means to an end. Really, what we're trying to do is when customers share their conversions data with LinkedIn through a tool like Kapi, we're also using that data to make it work harder for you. What that means is we're feeding that into our optimization models to help you find more opportunities, to help you find more people, to help you find more companies who are more likely to convert, right? So that, you know, your optimization and your campaign can now perform at a much higher efficiency, both from a cost and a reach standpoint.
Yeah. And then it's so much easier to talk about the efficiency of LinkedIn driving the right prospects over to you. Yes,
that's
it
right.
It might seem expensive, but are you ready to pay for the right clients to come into your pipeline?
That's right. That's right.
Fantastic. We have another question talking about best practices of conversions API. Can you walk us through a couple of those so it is a little bit more visual for people who would like
Absolutely.
To try it out?
I love this question, very pragmatic. And this is where I think some of the superpowers I call of Kapi starts to shine, right? So traditionally, I think, you know, imagine a world without Kapi when we're measuring conversions through primarily in our insights tag, which is, you know, a pixel or JavaScript measurement tool that sits in your website, you can't really pass sensitive information, right? Some of the sensitive information include like your first name, your last name, your email address, because it's a little bit creepy, to be honest. We don't want that flying through people's websites, right? We don't want to see them either. We have a very sort of strict policy around privacy and how we manage that. So, but all of that is now possible when you do it through Conversions API, because remember, it's completely server-to-server, so it's incredibly secure. And ultimately, it's up to the advertisers and the marketer to choose what data to share with LinkedIn. We're simply opening up a box and we say, hey, we call this a little box Kapi. Put your data in here, whatever you see fit, however often you see fit, in whatever format you like, they need to follow certain rules, share the data with us, right? So some of the things that we've found to be very helpful in terms of best practices are share as many match keys as you have, right? We that, you know, LinkedIn, for every member, we're all LinkedIn members here, I hope. We share our first name, our last name, our email address with LinkedIn. We, you know, share the company that we worked at, our job titles, and a few other really interesting tidbits about ourselves with LinkedIn as well, right? So LinkedIn has access to that information. Mm-hmm. We use that information to match anonymously to the data that you share with us. So for example, if you're only sharing first name and last name, sometimes there are typos. You know, my husband's name is Johnny. Some people call him John. So if you're saying John and you know what you're sharing to us, we might not be able to match that. But if you're sharing is, you know, the email address, or you're sharing, you know, the company that your customer works at, job title, any other more persistent identifiers, we tend to see that we're able to make, you know, a stronger connection, and that results in a higher match rate. So I say that's the first one, is ensure comprehension, comprehensive, you know, match keys are shared. The second one is sharing the data as frequently as you can, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning don't wait until, you know, a conversion has happened 6 months later and then you update that. All of these is because, you know, we talked about optimization earlier. The more frequently and fresher the data is that you're sharing with LinkedIn, the quicker we're able to take that in and use that to optimize your campaign, which means we're reducing the time to value to help you improve your campaign performance. So I'd say those are probably the two best practices. And the third one is, I would say, is don't just focus on, you know, online conversions or offline conversions. Bundle those in one. We all know that, you know, in all things B2B, it's not the buyer journey is not linear. You might come across an opportunity or think of, you know, renewing a subscription to a product. You don't always go online and look at something and hit buy and check out. In a perfect world, it would be so great if the world of B2B sales and marketing happened that way, but that's not the case, right? There are a lot of times, you know, if you're a buyer, you might pick up the phone and talk to a seller.
Yeah.
Company, you might go into a lunch meeting. All of these are conversion events and are signals that can help LinkedIn help make your campaign performance better. So log all of that, and even just sort of, you know, from your own sort of data management standpoint as well, and share that with your ad platform partners, because then your ad platform partners will really help utilize that to help you find the right prospects and then to help you find and close the relevant prospects and opportunities.
Really cool. And Kim is alluding to another question, taking us a bit step back from best practices into use cases. And you just mentioned one of those. It's like, don't only rely on tracking, but go into offline and mix those conversions as well. But can you walk us through a couple of use cases for Cappy?
For sure. So we spent a bit of time talking about the measurement or the analytics and attribution use cases. So we want to go into that. Optimization is a big one. And we also sort of talked a little bit about that as well, right? So that's, I mean, if we look at, you know, one of the main motivators why customers are using Cappy so quickly. We launched this about a month ago, and we're already seeing really good adoption among our customer base because they're seeing that value. And a lot of that value inherently comes in, you know, when customers share data with us, we can use that to improve campaign performance. Remember that 20% increased attribution, 30% lower CPA that we talked about. Customers are all over that. We love that, right? So we keep doing that. The third to fifth thing, I can only tell you the third thing for now, is that when customers share data with LinkedIn via Cappy, we don't want it to just be used for measurement. We don't want it to just be used for, you know, optimization as valuable as they are. We know that a lot of our customers went through a lot of, you know, like clicking or coding or configuration in their end to share that data. So we want to help you maximize the value. So one of the things that one of the features that we actually just launched, I believe it was last week, was that you can now use Cappy as a source to help you build a predictive audience on LinkedIn. What is a predictive audience on LinkedIn, you might ask?
This sounds big. Walk through.
This is huge. What it is we're saying, hey, you know, as a customer, you know who are the people who converted, right? Whether it's you bought something, whether it's you, you know, downloaded a PDF on a website, whatever those conversion actions are, let's find more people like that. Let's help you find, you know, prospects that are very similar in profile to the people that, you know, have done that in your book of business, whether it's in other companies, whether it's in other geographies, whether it's, you know, decision makers or influencers. We all know that in B2B, you know, there's not one person usually that makes all the decision, right? There's usually a committee or, you know, stakeholders and influencers that help influence that B2B buying decision. So what we've done is we've built a proprietary model that helps us truly understand who are the right people and when do we reach out and, you know, show an ad or show content to these groups of people. That product is named, is nested sort of under the predictive audiences umbrella. So now what we're saying is LinkedIn, you know, we have our own proprietary model to help identify those users organically on our platform, because, you know, we do have 1 billion members. We just crossed 1 billion members threshold a couple of weeks ago. So we have that scale. But the truth is, we'll never know. We'll never understand your business as well as you do, right? So wouldn't it be cool if we can bring the power of LinkedIn's understanding of 1 billion members, what they care about and where they are in their journey, with what you know about your business and who's more likely to convert, where, when, what is the opportunity size, what is the lifetime value, together to build a predictive audience that's customized to you and your historical patterns of conversions in your business. And you can use that for your targeting in all of your LinkedIn ad campaigns. So we launched that feature last week. I am personally very excited about it, if you guys can tell, because I think this is huge. I don't think we utilize it just enough, just because it's the product's about 1 week old, using Kappy. But definitely encourage everyone to check it out. You should really see it when you log into Campaign Manager, under where you're creating audiences. You should see an option to say, hey, I want, you know, to use my seat data for predictive audiences through Kappy, right? So very curious to see where this group lands. I would love to hear the feedback of that product as well. And, you know, any other, you know, new features that you guys have, send it our way.
This sounds like double power, because still a lot of people are a little bit concerned. Okay, so are we just giving it over to your predictive model? How much do you know about our business? But joining the two powers together, that sounds really, really powerful. And if anybody in the audience have questions, shoot them away. We still have half an hour to go through the call itself. But I've got some more technical questions as well that actually matter as well, both for the audiences, but in general for Kappy. So historical data. How much historical data can be sent to LinkedIn Kappy?
There's no hard limit. We're not going to turn it down. But pragmatically, what we would process, and you know, we would consider this from a relevant standpoint as well. And as we know it in B2B, things don't close in 30 days. I wish we saw an ad and bought a product in 30 days, right? So the LinkedIn Kappy today actually supports a pretty far look back, 6 months, or specifically 180 days, right? Okay. So you have what we recommend as a best practice, and this is sort of related to Kim's question a little bit, as well as we recommend you send your conversion events that happened in the past 90 days over as soon as possible. And what we're able to do from there is do another 90 days additional look back to say, hey, for these events that happened in the last 3 months, did it actually come from the ads that happened in the last 3 months, or did it happen from the ads that happened in the last 6 months, right? And that difference is critical, because if you're spending, you know, thousands of dollars on a B2B ad product, you're not going to see an ad. Well, I certainly can see an ad and click on it and hit checkout immediately. I wish I could, right? So we've built that longer attribution window just to account for the unique nature of B2B buying cycles.
That's how it is. And it used to be kind of a blind side of LinkedIn that you're not able to see that much attributed further. But now both the look back window and the conversion API, that's really, really strong. And what if somebody changes the existing conversions in Kappy? What happens then with the algorithm?
We reflect those changes, right? So there are a couple of scenarios when it comes to changes. One is you remove what you previously shared with us and you replace it in something. In that case, great. We'll only use the something new to feed into optimization, because you know what you shared before may not be relevant anymore. And ultimately, you know, the LinkedIn ad platform is at your service, right? It's at our customer service. That's our number one rule, is we service our members, we service our customers, right? So you tell us what's relevant to us. You're telling us, you know, this conversion thing that I was measuring 6 months ago, I've changed my approach in doing that. Mm-hmm. Awesome. We will listen and we'll take that in. No questions asked. The second, you know, I think you say, when you say like change in conversion, we've seen also happen where customers, and we see customers do this a lot, to be honest, as a best practice as well for how they comprehensively measure across their online, you know, channels is they set up sometimes conversions through an insights tag. A lot of times that's been there for a little while, you know, they've turned on, you know, first party cookie setting on that, which, you know, makes sure that the data is flowing seamlessly. And then when conversion API became available a month ago, they also set up conversions events. So now you might ask, hey, UI, what happens? Because if someone goes to my website, I am now sharing that website event to LinkedIn on my insights tag and on my conversions API. Are you going to double count that? The answer is no, we will not. We take both of those events into account and we actually dedupe that in the back end so that it reflects, your measurement reflects a more accurate view of what actually happened. At the end of the day, it's the same person, it's the same, you know, conversion event. There's really no reason to double count that.
Yeah, that's very strong. And now you're talking about counting, double counting, or hopefully not. What attribution models can be applied for CAPI?
Yeah, there are a few, but the one that we see most commonly used is the last touch attribution model.
Okay. And in terms of data privacy, we're only talking first party cookies. Can you walk us through the practices of data privacy for CAPI?
Yeah, totally. That's a really good question. So the first thing I would say in response to that is Conversions API does not use cookies. So it is completely cookieless. And really the focus is to help our customers build a very future-proof version of their measurement tools. Right. So we also, you know, many of you guys know, all of us are LinkedIn members. We have a very strict data privacy controls in place. Internally, one of our core principles actually in how we operate, you know, our data and our product development, our feature development, as well as it's called members first. So we hold that very dear to our heart and we apply that principle in everything we do. So when it comes to data privacy for CAPI specifically, we don't go in and like and you know grab data from customer service, right? Like I said earlier, it's we open up Conversions API as a port where customers can share data with us as they see fit. If there are data that you don't want to share, don't share it, right? So the putting the control really within the hands of the customers. Once the data gets shared with LinkedIn, we match it and then we don't store it. The third thing as well is that we don't report on an individual basis because it's just a little bit creepy, right? Like, sure, if I put myself in, you know, the shoes of our members, and I am a member myself, if I click on an ad and go on a website, I don't want people to know that it's me. It's okay if you bundle me with 1,000 other people and say, yep, 800 people clicked on this thing. That's okay because I'm not named, I'm not singled out. Right. So the really important thing for us is to make sure that we protect and preserve member privacy in that way. So all of the conversion net reporting that you will see on your campaign manager dashboards or even through our partner interfaces like Dream Data, all of that are on an aggregated basis.
Mm-hmm. And would it be fair to say then, since everybody's talking a lot about, oh, the cookies are disappearing and we're all doomed, we'll not be able to do ads in the right way, that you're ready for that future? And how does that affect, if the cookies are disappearing, how does that affect CAPI really?
The good news is it doesn't if you're already on CAPI, right? Because we've designed CAPI in such a way where you don't need their party cookies. Heck, you don't even need first party cookies. You don't need any cookies to utilize CAPI. And we built this purposefully because we know that, you know, the effectiveness of third party cookies, it's been eroding. It's been eroding since, you know, Apple made those changes a couple of years ago. It will continue to erode pretty dramatically when Google Chrome rolls out those changes starting in the first January. So we built CAPI with the future in mind. And we say, we want a solution to stand the test of time for the next few years, the very minimum. We don't know what the world's going to look like, right? So that's, I'd say, you know, the core principle and a big reason why CAPI is so widely adopted among our customer base today is that there's no cookies. You don't have to worry about ad blockers. Even if your customers have an ad blocker on, which nobody has any control of, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's not a concern to you. You can still measure that outcome because you're sending those web conversion signals now, not on a browser level, but going a little bit deeper on your web server level into LinkedIn.
So if your customers are tracking with the first party cookies and How does that connection happen with Kapi then? Because they would know so many more touches that are happening on the website for the offline conversions, no?
Yes and no. I think they can happen in parallel. And this is something that we see a lot of our customers do is they use the LinkedIn Insights tag and they turn on first party cookie setting on their website as a bit of a backup, right? It's, hey, you want to be able to capture click ID, want to make sure in case when you're sending over something to sending up your website conversions events directly from your web service to LinkedIn through Kapi. Sometimes things get dropped off. Sometimes you forget to set it up. And then in those instances, you have your, you know, JavaScript first party cookie insights tag as your backup. Vice versa, when you're setting, you know, you've got your first party cookie insights tag going on your website, sometimes things break. People, you know, terminate a session and you go, ah, lost that conversion. That's okay. That's when Kapi is your backup as well, right? So using those two in parallel is incredibly powerful because you now have, you know, you now have a backup plan for each other, right? So regardless of, you know, whether a session accidentally terminates or, you know, things break. A lot of times things break, you know, in measure in the process of, you know, sharing conversion events from one destination to another. In those instances, you don't have to worry as much because you've got a pretty solid backup plan that works. You know, one, sure, with the insights tag, you need the presence of cookies to do that. Mm-hmm. On the other side, with Kapi, you don't need any cookies to do that.
Yeah. And talking about the things that break, so how do I know what unique identifiers in the data that are matched properly with LinkedIn users for attribution?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. It's really important to think about identifiers in two buckets. We talked a little bit about the first bucket, which are what I call like person level identifiers. It's identifiers that tell us who these people are, right? We don't report on a people basis, but we do match on a very deterministic people basis. So that's kind of like as pure as you get from a matching standpoint. Right. Those identifiers include things like your first name, your last name, your email address, the company you worked at, job title. I think it even goes as far as like the geography, you know, the country, the city, you know, that you operate out of, because there might be a few Loras, right? And there might be a few Yiwais too, like one in New York, there might be one in Copenhagen potentially, right? So those are the person level identifiers. And I'd say like those are pretty critical in terms of helping you improve your match rate. The more identifiers you can associate with a conversion event, you know, the higher the fidelity is, because then LinkedIn can look at that now and go, ah, this is definitely Laura, because Laura's based in Copenhagen. We know Laura, you know, works at doing data, and this is her email address. So we have a very high confidence score to identify that that is the right match. Can we do it on just one identifier alone? Of course, we can do that if we know that it is a true match.
Yeah.
But the more certainly helps, you know, makes a stronger case. So that's the first bucket of identifiers. The second bucket of identifiers are what I call like event level identifiers, right? The first one tells you who they are. The second one tells you what they do, right? So I would put them in the categories of all of the conversion events that we support through Kapi today. I believe there are about like 38 different conversion events that we support through Kapi, ranging from, you know, more traditional online conversion events like download a PDF. Did you add something to cart? Did you click on this thing? Did you fill out a lead gen form? Did you start a trial? To some of the offline identifiers that we also support to receive through Kapi. For example, you had a meeting, you had a phone call, right? You attended a trade conference, right? So these identifiers that are equally important, I'd say, to the online ones, right? Because B2B journeys, they go on and offline, right? It's not linear. We live in a physical world as much as such a big part of our interactions are virtual and digital today, that blended approach or conversion events are critical. And then you've got what I called event level identifiers that are session driven. So specifically, I'm talking about click IDs. You click on a LinkedIn ad on LinkedIn.com, we generate an alphanumeric. And this is, you know, very similar to how most, if not all, ad platforms operate, not unique to LinkedIn. We generate click ID and go, yep, actually, it's this click. Let's just remember this one so that we can connect that to the conversions down the line, should you make a connection, right? So we pass that click ID over in the world of insights tag through the JavaScript tags that we just talked about. But in the Kapi, same thing. We pass that to your web service as well. You can log it. You take that. You just remember right? You take that and you go, oh, actually, this click ID, I'm going to remember the session. I'm going to remember that actually this click ID, this person might have filled out the form, for example, on your website, right? So now you go, oh, Laura filled out a lead generation form. She wants to learn more about the product. You now have the click ID, Laura's email, and Laura's first name. And then you log that. You send that to LinkedIn. So we go, oh, yeah, actually, you know what? This an impression resulted in this click, which also resulted in this form fill. Now, that's incredibly powerful, right? But at the end of the day, we're not here. Well, we are here a lot of times to drive form fills, right? Top of funnel. But really, 10 out of 10 businesses, we want that to convert into sales opportunities.
Yeah.
3 months go by, right? Laura finally buys some.
Yeah.
And you lock that into your CRM. Guess what? You have your email. You have Laura's first name in your CRM. You might have kept that click ID. You might have kept that form fill information. You send that back to LinkedIn. Then we're able to tell you and say, actually, you know, that ad click that Laura did 3 months ago, it not only resulted in a lead gen form fill, it also resulted in a close one opportunity. Laura ultimately bought something. So it's a really powerful way to understand how that one ad click on LinkedIn results in a conversion event across different stages of your buyer journey, giving you that, you know, end-to-end perspective.
Is there a cap on the time to be able to do that look back?
Yes. Yeah. 180 days, 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. I want to pick up one more question.
Yeah.
The chat. So we spoke a little bit about the predictive audiences and the chat is loving it. Thank you, Kim, for sharing the link over to the news. So will the sources for a predictive audience now say contact list, conversion, lead gen form? Cappy, or will it be the conversion option? That's a bit more technical.
Great question, Ava. I love that you've, you know, immediately locked in the campaign manager and looked into that. So kudos to you, Ava, for doing that. I love it. It will be within conversions. So now, you know, within conversions, there are different, you know, tools available for you to share conversions data, Cappy being an important one. So it is within conventions. So there's nothing extra you need to do once you've set up Cappy. Just log into Predict Audiences, hit conversions. If you're streaming conversions to LinkedIn in two different sources, like I said, tag and Cappy, they'll both be reflected. And if they're duplicative event, we dedupe that as well. So you don't have to worry about that on your end.
Fantastic. And Ava has one more question I want to pick.
Yeah.
So what if you don't use last touch attribution? What should we do?
Love it. That's a really good question. I think it's an incredibly relevant one for B2B. Last touch, I think, is what we see as a default for what most of our customers set up. Natively within Campaign Manager, we also support, I believe, first touch attribution. But I know that Dream Data, being the experts in attribution, supports multiple attribution models, right? So whether you're looking to do something, you know, pretty standard like first last, you know, you're looking to do something or something a little bit more complicated like a weighted approach or a UJ shape or different, you know, computations of a multi-touch attribution, you can do that not on LinkedIn.com, but you can do that through an attribution partner like Dream Data.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we often see as well, since journeys of our customers, they do start with LinkedIn anonymous touches to start with. And as a B2B seller, especially for long customer journeys, you sometimes would like to know that.
Totally. Yeah. You know, and this is really a matter of preference, right? On an attribution model. I think some customers, depending on how they allocate their investments or, you know, how they see the world, right? Everyone has a different framework for identifying the most relevant attribution model for their business.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with that, we're going to close off today's session. We are almost at the top of the hour. Thank you so much for coming over to the session. It was a pleasure meeting you. And thank you very much for everybody attending this. Thank you for this collaboration, Yuhoi. This was a great session.
I had a great time. Thank you so much, Laura. This was a great conversation. And, you know, so good to see so many people on the call and so good to meet everyone here. Looking forward to continuing this.
Bye-bye.
Right, have a good one.
We hope you like listening to us. Subscribe to our podcast and the ones that we have been guests on.
And if you have any feedback for us, just do let us know. And should there be a guest that you think we should be talking to, then like pitch us.
We're looking forward to seeing you.